You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was recorded on November 4th, 2018, the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the neighbors who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So some in the crowd said, "See how he loved him." But others of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many in the crowd, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. We gather on this Feast of All Saints for a family celebration. We celebrate the lives of friends and family who we remember this day and yet see no longer. We recall their love for us and ours for them. We recall warmth and laughter and happy times shared. Maybe we also recall conflicts or disagreements or bad behavior or pain and anger. Recalling all that, perhaps we're able to offer forgiveness. And in that offering, maybe experience some peace. And we also may be recalling the grief we experienced around the deaths of these dear ones, the feelings of loneliness and loss and absence. Let's recall all of these feelings on this day because it's the awareness, the acknowledgement, the acceptance of all of these feelings that makes us human. We read the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus on this feast day of remembrance, because in lots of ways, it's a family story. Now, this beautiful story is also a story about grief. And it's a story about love. But first, it's a story about grief. It begins with Mary and Martha, sisters in the midst of the experience of grief and loss. And their grief is amplified because their friend Jesus didn't come when they called him. They imagine that if Jesus had shown up on time, their brother might not have died. So along with grief and loss, it's also a story about blame. Blame often comes right along with grief. You know, in the midst of pain or loss, we want to assign blame so we can push away the pain. Lord, if you'd been there, my brother wouldn't have died. Martha and Mary both say this to Jesus at different points in the story. Jesus, if only you'd come when we called you, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, Martha and Mary aren't the only ones who are experiencing grief and loss. Jesus also is grieving at the death of his friend. Jesus began to weep, we're told, as he approached the tomb of Lazarus. The one who in John's gospel is presented as the Lord of heaven and earth weeps at the death of his friend. The Lord of heaven and earth himself experiences the pain, experiences the sorrow, experiences the suffering of human loss. You know, grief is as much a part of what it means to be human as joy. I mean, joy we welcome, right? Grief, nah, we want to push that aside. But we need both. We need both the experience of joy and grief to really know what it means to be a human being. David White is one of my favorite living poets. He lives on Whidbey Island. If you ever have the opportunity to hear him read his poetry, run. Don't walk, run to get there. Here's a short poem of David White's called The Well of Grief. Those who will not slip beneath the still surface on the well of grief, turning downward through its black water to the place where we cannot breathe, we'll never know the source from which we drink. The secret water, cold and clear. The secret water, cold and clear. The secret water, cold and clear. Nor find in the darkness glimmering the small round coins thrown by those who wished for something else. What a beautiful and profound image. At the bottom of the well of grief is the source of life. The secret water, cold and clear. The secret water, cold and clear. But you have to slip so deeply into the well. You have to slip into the well to the point where you feel like you can't breathe. If you stand outside the well just throwing your coins in and hoping for a different result, you miss out. And does running and hiding from grief lessen the pain of grief? And what do you think? Slipping into the well of grief, going all the way down, means you're fully alive. So the story of the raising of Lazarus is a story about grief and loss. The grief of Martha and Mary and the grief of Jesus too. Jesus' experience of grief, which is God's own experience of human grief, means that we are never, 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 ever alone in our grief. God knows the pain of our grief. And this is also a story about love, about how love breaks into the midst of grief and loss. I am the resurrection and I am life, Jesus says. And then he turns to Martha and asks her if she believes him. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are resurrection and you are life. You know, in John's gospel, faith isn't understood as agreeing to a set of intellectual propositions, you know, saying the Nicene Creed or, agreeing to some kind of doctrine or dogma. No, faith is believing. Faith is trusting. that Jesus is the Word made flesh. Trusting that in Jesus, God has come into the world. Faith is when we come into relationship with Jesus and allow Jesus' life to be the pattern for our own lives. When we allow Jesus to become the blueprint for our lives. Drawing close to Jesus' heart, we draw close to God's heart. And when Martha and Mary do that, grief becomes joy. You know, in John's gospel, there are seven miracles. Jesus works seven miracles. But John understands these miracles to be signs. To be signs of how God in Christ is at work in the world. And this is the last one of them that we encounter this morning. You know, these miracles aren't really important as miracles themselves. Lazarus, after all, is eventually going to die a human death. But they're signs of God's action. The raising of Lazarus is Jesus' last sign before he enters Jerusalem to face his own death. And it's the final sign that the Lord of heaven and earth is also the Lord over death. When we allow Jesus to walk with us through the pain of grief and loss and death, we can carry with us our hope for resurrection and new life. I'll share a story with you about grief and loss and love. It's a story that some of you have heard before, but I'm going to share it today anyway because it illustrates the point that I want to make. I had a brother named Tommy who was 18 months younger than I. We're going to say his name in just a moment when we read the names of our blessed departed. Tommy was happy and filled with life and energy. He was really a very sweet toddler. He was also a Down syndrome child. My mom and dad used to tell me that Tommy and I were inseparable. And then the summer when I was 3, Tommy caught pneumonia and died. A terrible loss that was the source of considerable grief in our family. And then in November of that same year, 4 of my cousins, whose ages ranged from 6 years to 18 months, were killed in a tragic accident. You can only imagine the grief. Now, I certainly had to imagine the grief because to this day, I don't have any conscious memory of either of these events. Of course, I would have experienced the deep pain and separation and loss from my dearly loved brother and the cousins that I played with 2 or 3 times a week. But I just don't have any memory of any of that. Now, fast forward to my college years. The summer I was 20, I was working as a counselor at the Diocese of West Virginia's summer camp. It's a place called Peterkin, and it's much like our Camp Houston here in the Diocese of Olympia. It's a place of sublime natural beauty in the Allegheny Mountains, near the headwaters of the Potomac River in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia, a couple of hours west of D.C. One late summer evening, I found myself on a rough-hewn log bench on a hilltop overlooking verdant farmland. In the distance, I could see the south branch of the Potomac River rising out of the Alleghenies, the gentle breeze, the hum of the cicadas, the farmer in the distance cutting summer wheat. The whole scene was speaking to me so deeply of the glory of God's creation. I remember that scene and that feeling to this day just like it happened yesterday. And then, completely without warning, completely out of the blue, I began to cry. To really cry, to really weep. And at first, for a few moments, I didn't understand what was going on. Then, again without warning, I saw my brother Tommy's face. And then I saw the faces of our 4 cousins. And I realized gradually what was happening. I was grieving. Consciously grieving the tragic events of pain and loss that had happened so many years before. It was really cathartic to finally grieve openly and consciously. And then as the tears stopped, I began to experience an intensity of light and a sense of deep and powerful peace. A sense that all was well. A sense that Tommy and Roberta and Billy and Robbie and Mary Beth were well. They were whole and I was whole. They were at peace and I was at peace. They were with Jesus, and I was with Jesus. The knowing of the deep peace that I experienced in the midst of grief and loss was a knowing so deep in my bones, deep in my soul. In the midst of grief and loss, Jesus was there, carrying me down into the well of grief. Carrying me to the secret water, cold and clear. The source of my life and the lives of Tommy and my dear cousins. I had to go down all the way down, down through the black water of the well of grief to find that source of life. To find resurrection. So on this Feast of All Saints, let's remember and celebrate those dear ones whose names we'll read in a few moments. And if someone you want to remember isn't on that list, say the name out loud. They'll hear you. Say the name. And let's know that in the most profound and mysterious way, grief and loss and love and relationship are all one. Deep grief means that deep love has been known. And maybe you won't know that until you go all the way down. Down through the black water, cold and clear. All the way down. Down where you will meet Christ. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.